Good morning, honorable members and everyone in the room. The chairperson is running a bit late. She woke up not feeling very well this morning. She called to say that we should start the meeting and ask honorable Abunda to just start the proceedings. She will join us later on. Okay, thank you very much. Honorable Abunda, could you please take the host?
Everybody, I think you will not be surprised to be chaired by somebody who has ever never been. And
you will do well. I know that.
Let me just hope that I will conduct the meeting in the proper way, provided others should not just interrupt me and try to ask questions and so on and so on, because I might be lost. Please be patient with me. As indicated that the chairperson will be late, let's try to deal with the business of the day. In my opening remarks, let me just indicate that let's just take it as business as usual. I don't have anything to can welcome you because I'm not in the position to do that. I also needed to be welcomed from the recess. I think everybody has got a nice time or maybe with the family and so on. But much as I know as politicians, we might have be busy enough to an extent that we didn't get enough time to rest. But here we are back again with the business of the government business. And then in the introduction, I wouldn't like to make a mess. That is item number two, if I'm jumping. If I make a special request to say we introduce ourselves, starting from myself, I'm D.W. Mabunda, the member of this committee.
Acha William Tia, committee secretary.
I'm Inyaka Skopwe, a member of this committee, representing the Democratic Alliance.
Nicky Vinatvar, member of the committee and also representing Democratic Alliance.
Pumele Rejikala, member of this committee from Congress of the People.
Ndakwane, member of this committee, a UDM member.
From the Auditor General's side, please introduce yourself.
It's Rajesh Ratanji, Senior Manager from the Auditor General.
Good morning, my name is Kunai Maiver, also from the Auditor General.
Would it not be appropriate for everybody to introduce himself or herself? People on the back row, please.
Good morning, everyone. We are Kazuma Filika from the Auditor General.
Morning, honorable members. Morning, AG. I'm Mr. Johnny from the station, committee assistant.
Morning, my name is Bella Makatana. I'm the executive secretary to the chairperson.
Good morning. I'm Fiona Clayton. I'm a researcher for the Portfolio Committee on Arts and Culture.
Good morning. My name is Malaswa Mulepo, media support for the Portfolio Committee.
Good morning, my name is Leanne Slack. I'm a monitor from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Paul from the Deputy Minister's Office.
Thank you very much. Before we get to the apologies, let me also state this in front, that please, in terms of the number of members who are here, not in relation to coming from which political party and so on, policy in terms of the forums and so on, please leave that to the chairperson who will be arriving. Don't ask me that whether we're form of quorum or not. But however, we have to proceed as requested. But I'll also ask the secretary to read the apologies if they are there.
We have an apology from Honorable Mamitwa Shilubane, who is at home. She had an accident with her ankle. She was sent through the doctor's certificate. We also have an apology from Honorable Mushwana, who will be attending the meeting of the PC on basic education. We also have an apology from Honorable Moss, who is dealing with a sick daughter. And we also have an apology from Honorable Murtua, who will be attending a meeting with communications. We also have an apology from the minister. He will be meeting with stakeholders in the department today and tomorrow. And also from the deputy minister, he will also be attending the same meeting. We also have an apology from the DG, who is booked off sick. He won't be attending today's meeting as well as tomorrow's meeting. And we also have an apology from Samuel Bahakane, the parliamentary liaison officer in the minister's office. Those are the apologies for today.
Thank you very much.
I think we all have that in mind to say that apologies are even more than what the present people that are here. But we'll have to take it from there. I think some remarks are necessary in terms of the apologies and so on. But even the acceptance and even the rest of the thing, let's just wait for the chairperson. Maybe we can liaise with raise our concerns if ever they are in terms of the apologies and the quorum itself, because I will not be in the position to deal with that one. It's an issue above my capacity as I'm sitting here. But however, let's proceed to item number 4 and hear the presentation by the AG on the audit outcomes of the DEC annual report. But I'm not restricting any one of us to then say something if ever need be. And then on the meantime, let's allow the AG to give us that report with your acceptance.
The overall outcomes for the department and the entities of the Arts and Culture portfolio. Can you hear?
Okay, let's try it like this. Better. Thank you very much. As I said, I would like to share today with you the overall outcomes for the Arts and Culture portfolio for the year ended 31st March 2012. And we really hope that this session will also enable you to assist in your oversight and specifically with the BRRR reports that you're currently busy with. I think everybody was issued with a set of slides. And I think that the notes is also added. If you don't have the slides with the notes, I think it's important that you first just that we just issue this to everybody. Yes. It looks something like this. On the first page, page 3, it's the combined assurance model. You would remember the previous time that I visited you in terms of the training session that we had, I quickly introduced this. So we're just doing this again with all the committees to say that it's combined assurance. The whole idea is that the risk should be identified early in the process. And when the auditors is coming in, there shouldn't be any surprises to the department or to the entities. So what we said is there's 3 tiers of assurance, and it starts with the department. It starts with the senior managers in an entity in a department. They should have checks and balances in place to make sure that there's monitoring, that there's review, to pick up on those non-compliance, to pick up on the performance information or financial information that is not correct. That is where it starts. And the departments and entities shouldn't wait, because the last tier is the auditors, internal audit as well as external audit. And they shouldn't put all their hope on the auditors to come in and then to say, you know what, now we can fix. If we can come in, then it's too late. It's typically what happened with PACOS. They didn't do their monthly recons, they didn't do their monthly valuations, keeping the asset register up to date. When the auditors came in, it was too late, and there wasn't time to fix the assets. And that resulted in PACOS this year getting a qualification. So it's critical that they do their job every day with diligence, with commitment, and with accuracy. If we look at the 3-year outcomes for the department and the public entities, what we see there is there's in general not a lot of movement. For 2009-10, there was 15% of departments that had a qualification, 63% that had unqualified with other matters, and you would remember in our session, in our session we said that with a qualification, we identify certain components, typically it will be your assets, property, plant, equipment, revenue, that is qualified, where we say that there is not enough evidence to express an opinion or to say that it's fairly stated. We have 22% that was clean. So what we say for the 22% is that it is unqualified and there wasn't any findings on compliance or performance information or anything else. Thanks. But I think what is concerning in this picture is that there's in general there's slow movement. There's a lot of departments and entities that is unqualified, but they don't move out of that space. They don't get out of the non-compliance findings. They don't get out of the predetermined objective findings. They stay in that unqualified space. And we really need to move them, and they need to move and have the commitment to do what they do so that they can move to clean, so that they can resolve the non-compliance, so that they can resolve the predetermined objective. I mean, in general, if you look at it, there's only 5 entities with qualifications now. 5 out of 27 entities sounds good, but the picture is telling us that they are stagnating and they don't move forward. The entities that did improve was Toll Museum. They eventually came out of the qualification. You would remember that they always had the qualification on the revenue. This year, they managed to resolve that qualification. Market Theatre and Iziku, they've improved from unqualified with findings to clean, so those two also moved. The positive ones is Freedom Park, Lituli, Playhouse, Natal and Voortrekker Museum. They managed to stay at clean, and that is important to have a sustainable plan and to be sustainable in what they do. So it's now for Natal Museum and Voortrekker Museum, they've been 3 years in a row, they managed to be clean. So that is just saying that whatever they do is working, and they get it right.
The negative part is on the right hand side in terms of the regressions. We see that the National Museum and William Humphrey, he regressed from clean to unqualified with other matters. The State Theatre, Peckles and Pansold, they moved from unqualified to qualified this year. And then Sarah moved to a disclaimer this year. So with a disclaimer, as we've explained the previous time, is really we sit with a limitation. So they didn't provide the information for the audit to be conducted. So when we disclaim, we're actually withholding our opinion to say that due to the extent of the documentation that we couldn't audit, we're not in a position to express an opinion. So Sarah actually then regressed from qualified to disclaimer. Sorry, I forgot to mention National Arts Council. They also, in terms of the positive turn, where they were at the adverse last year, specifically in terms of the downtown studio, and they managed to move from an adverse to a qualification. And as we go through it, the main reason that we see there is the result of the leadership that was appointed there. I think they just came in too late to fix everything that they had to fix, but they managed to address quite a number of the findings. In the organization, we have specific focus areas that we focus on, and we do these procedures at all the entities and all the departments. I think the positive side on this slide is that there's no regressions. There is two improvements, and then three areas where we saw that there's no improvement, but at least there was also not a regression. And if we look at the picture, at least the majority of it is green. When we look at supply chain management, we see that there is 48% of the entities that didn't have findings on supply chain, and 52% of them that actually had findings. So if you look at the notes, you will be able there to see which ones do have the supply chain findings. If we look at the Department of Arts and Culture, they actually, this year we've identified 8 million rand of irregular expenditure for the department. The others are Artscape, Ditsong, National Arts Council, the Film and Video Foundation, Nelson Mandela. So there's a couple of them that actually had findings, 14 of the 27 who had findings on not complying with procurement laws and regulations, resulting then in findings. The poor quality of service delivery, that is where we look at the performance information. There we also see that there's an improvement. What we've noted is that there's 7 entities that still have findings on the targets not being useful. And that's a concern for us because we are busy with this audit now for almost 6 years. And making sure that the targets are smart is one of the first things that should have been in place. That is one of the basic things. So what we found at that 7 entities is that the target is not specific, it's not time-bound, and it's not measurable. Now, if you don't have that, the information, whoever reads the information, it doesn't make sense, it's not useful, you can't track it, you can't monitor it. So those entities really need to make sure that the information, that they work on their strategic plan to get the target specific and measurable. There we also have the department. But for the department, I must say that we really saw improvement this year. They were able to resolve the reliability. Now, when it comes to reliability, it's where they're in the position to provide evidence that whatever they've reported, we can trace it to that evidence. So they resolved that. And we're positive that for the current year, the 12-13 year, that they will be able to address the SMART principles. The other entities that still is struggling with SMART is the Film and Video Foundation, Nelson Mandela, Pansel, Robben Island, SARA, and the State Theatre. They still need to get the basics right, making sure that it's specific, time-bound, and measurable. Then in terms of information not being reliable, there were 5 entities there that where we couldn't trace what was reported in the annual report to supporting documentation. And those entities are the National Library, Nelson Mandela, Robben Island, SARA, and State Theatre. I think the concern is 4 of them have both, and that's Nelson Mandela, Robben Island, Sarah, and State Theatre. Sorry, I'm on page 6.
And they provided us with something.
but they couldn't get out of the qualification. If we look at their performance information, they didn't even submit performance information. And it's directly because there's not leadership that's guiding them, that's giving them the direction. So for HR, it didn't regress, but 19% of the entities in the portfolio, we do have a serious concern about the leadership, the positions that has not been filled, the acting positions, the performance management that's not in place. The next one is the material errors and omissions in financial statements. There was also not a regression, but 41% of the entities submitted financial statements that was not of quality. So if they didn't fix the misstatements that we've identified, there would have been 11 entities with qualifications instead of the 5 that we have now. And it comes back to that daily activities of monitoring, reviewing, collecting financial information, having it documented, filed, so when the auditors come in, they can retrieve it. The 11 that submitted financial statements that had to be corrected was the department. As I said, I don't have a CFO at the moment. Artscape, Afrikaans Taal Museum, the Tsong was very close to clean, but they had to make so many corrections that when we looked at it in the bigger picture, we said, you know what, this doesn't demonstrate good administration and good processes throughout the year. There was too much year-end effort trying to fix everything. So we brought in the non-compliance to say that they had to make material corrections to their financial statements. Then we also have Arts Council, which was a positive thing there for them, Film and Video Foundation, PANSOP that corrected, the Library, SARA, State Theatre, and Willem Humphrey. So those 11 had to make material corrections to their financial statements. And then the last focus area that we focus on, which also stayed the same, was the IT exposure. 19% of the entities don't have governance systems, don't have backup procedures, policies and procedures to manage their IT systems. And they need to put those systems and those frameworks in place so that if there's a disaster, they can at least recover the information. That if the person is running with the IT resigns, the next person will know what to do and how to take it further. So that documented policies and procedures need to be put in place.
If I just can now ask Mrs. Mayberg just to explain, we've got the focus area on top there, and then the graphics below. Just explain the colors. I can see there's different colors. I'm not sure if it's red or green or whatever, or maybe it's light blue or whatever. I'm not. Just explain what's going on there, please. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chair. If you look at the top one, that is the slide portion, we've got red and green. So the green is the positive side, where we didn't have findings, and the red is the negative, where we had findings, other than on supply chain HR performance information. So the red is the negative portion. In the center, it's just saying focus areas. And then the bottom part of the slides with the notes is just giving the detail. So there you will have the list of all the entities. You have the headings with the same as the bubbles on top, and we just indicated with a blue to say Department of Arts and Culture has findings on information not being useful, material adjustments, supply chain, HR, and IT.
Sorry, Chairman,
can
you just, may I ask a question?
Yep.
Then maybe I will follow.
For instance, if we look at this Arts and Culture, there's the ODT, and then audit opinion, is it yellow there?
Yes.
What does that yellow mean?
The yellow will then mean that it is unqualified with other findings. And the other findings is then performance information that's not useful, as well as non-compliant. So the yellow is financially unqualified with other. The green will be unqualified with no other findings.
In our previous session, we said that there's three areas where we as the auditors need to conclude in our audit report. The one being the financial statements, the second one being the performance information, and the third one being compliance with laws and regulations. So if they didn't have any findings in any of these three areas, it will be green, and then we will say they received a clean audit opinion or a clean outcome. So there was no finding in no area. The yellow is the financial statements was correct, but they had findings in the other two areas. Then if we look at the purple is a qualification. There are four of them. If you look at Arts Council,
okay, thank you. I've seen, sorry for interrupting again, I've seen Honorable Tapani,
I was going to tell Honorable Fanapas that these colors are explained in page 4 of the presentation document. I was going to tell him that.
Thank you.
Sorry, there's the purple. I'll just put that on. And then the red one is for Sarah. That was disclaimed. And then you have the different focus areas. The first two is the performance information with the findings that we had on performance information. And then the third column after the colors is material adjustments. That one. Then we have supply chain. So the ones that are highlighted are the entities with findings. The second last column is HR. And the last one is IT. So for IT we see it's the department, Arts Council, Film or National Library, and National Heritage Council that had findings on the IT systems. Is that making a bit more sense? It's very difficult with the 27 entities to try and give all the information. It's easier where there's only 5 entities. But I hope it makes it assist. If you look at the next slide, it's the drivers for internal control. That are those smiley faces, the smiley red, yellow, and green faces. So now it's just in terms of a pie. You'll see a majority we've got the green, where we say those controls are working. So for leadership, we said that 63% of the entities have leadership in place. Financial and performance management, 48% of the entities have financial and performance management in place, and governance is 70%. Now maybe I must just go back this step and say, for leadership, what we look at there is the tone from the top. It's the guidance that they provide. It is the integrity of the leadership. It's whether the positions are filled, if they have qualifications, if they have findings, do they have action plans, do they monitor those action plans. Do they make sure that the right people are in the right places? So that is what we assess when we look at leadership. For leadership, we said that there was 15% of the entities that didn't have the leadership in place. And that represents 4 of the entities, which is then PACOS, State Theatre, Consult, and SARA. For them, we said that they need intervention to enhance the control surrounding their leadership. There were 6 entities where we said they started addressing leadership concerns, and those 6 were the Department, Robben Island, Arts Council, Film and Video Foundation, NHC, and Nelson Mandela. The next one is the financial and performance management controls. Those are really the daily controls. That is the responsibility of the CFO, the person that is responsible for performance information. That is the checks and balances. Doing daily recons, doing the cash counts, counting the assets, making sure the asset register is updated. So that's the daily activities. That is why they're appointed and why they're there. So they, 48% of the entities, we said those controls are working. But for 5 of the entities, we said that those daily controls are not working. and we had exactly the same four as with leadership. Packoff, State, Theatre, Pan, Salt and Sara, where we said those controls are not working, and then in addition the English Literature Museum as well. And then we had nine entities where we set the yellow. That means that there's concern, but they started to address those weaknesses and they're working on it. And there is nine entities that we've identified that is working on those weaknesses. Then the last internal control that we focus on is governance. So that is, do they have a risk process? Do they have a fraud prevention plan? Is there an internal audit division? Do they have an audit committee that assists and provides assistance to the leadership? So for 70% of the entities, they did have these governance structures in place. For 11 of them, we said that there is a serious concern and that there is intervention required. And that was Arts Council, SARA, and PANSALT. And, I mean, those are exactly the three. PANSALT that really regressed, SARA that went to a disclaimer, and Arts Council, although there's an improvement, they still sit with a qualification. And I think with the new leadership, that will be the next step, is to make sure that they've got those governance structures in place, internal audit and audit committees. And what we've generally seen is where these controls are working, usually there's a link between the audit outcome and they will be clean. It's not a guarantee, but if they have these practices in place, chances are very good that they will have that clean audit outcome with no findings in any of the areas. If we look at the next slide, that's page 8, that is the material misstatements submitted. As we said, it's now again the department is a light green, and they've corrected all the misstatements that we've identified. And as a result, at the end of the day, they didn't have any qualifications. Then under the 26 public entities, we had 15 entities which submitted quality financial statements. So what they submitted is what we've audited, what was published. So they didn't have to go back and make any amendments to that financial statement. Then we had 6 entities which had to go back to make material corrections to prevent a qualification. And we had one entity, which is SARA, we didn't do any corrections, and that is the red block, that red slide. So they didn't fix anything on the financial statements, and then partially corrected are the four that had qualifications at the end of the day. So they tried, they corrected to some extent what they could correct, but they couldn't correct everything, and therefore still resulting in some qualifications. If you again, just to understand the notes at the bottom, so we again listed all the entities. The column in the middle is just again the audit opinion, and then the column at the far at the right end is the same colors than in the pie. So the light green will be corrected all misstatements, the darker green will be there was no misstatement, the yellow will be that they were partially corrected, and the red one was not corrected. So that will give you indication to the entities and what they had to do. If we look at the predetermined objectives, so that is the information that they report in their annual report. Beginning of the year, there was a strategic plan. Quarterly information was collected and reported against the strategic plan. And at the end of the year, with the financial statement, there was a final report to say, this is what we committed in the beginning of the year, this is what we delivered with the money that was given to us. If we look at this picture, on the top we have for the department. The department had findings on predetermined objectives in 2010-11 as well as in 2011-12. This is saying in both years, so it's red there. We did, however, as I indicated, we did see an improvement. They were able to provide us with documentation to support what they've reported. When we look at the entities, there was also some improvement, 11% improvement, where in 2010-11 there was only 62% of the entities with no findings on predetermined objectives. For 2011-12, there were 73% of the entities with no findings on predetermined objectives. So in general, I've got a fairly positive sense about predetermined objectives and where they're moving, because we can see there's a progression and there's improvement. If we just go into the detail, the slide on the left-hand side, it's saying movement in number of auditees with findings on predetermined objectives. So what we're seeing there is, once again, there was 15 entities that didn't have any findings last year. They also didn't have any findings in 2011-12. So they are sustaining the fact that they don't have any findings on predetermined objectives. We've identified four entities that actually improved from the previous year, and they didn't have any findings on their predetermined objectives this year. It is objectives that have been identified in the beginning of the financial year. So starting 1st April, so that is what the money is allocated for, archiving or what. So it's predetermined in the beginning of the year what they have to achieve with the money that's allocated. It is. You've got the objectives, and then the objectives is broken down in specific targets that they need to achieve. But it all tells the same story. It all works to the same end result. Okay, just a bit more detail. The four entities that improved was the Tsong, Arts Council, National Heritage Council, and Windy Brow. They had findings last year on predetermined objectives, and this year it was resolved. There were seven entities that didn't move, who had findings last year, and they still have findings this year. And once again, we used the same colors in the bottom part of the page. So all the red ones that's highlighted in red will say they had findings last year, they still have findings in the current year. And that is Department, Library, Nelson Mandela, Panswap, Robben Island, Sahara, and State Theatre. And then there was one regression, and that was the film and video. They, their targets wasn't useful this year, which is actually strange, because, as I said, that's the starting point and the basics. They had it right last year, and for the 2011-12 strategic plan, their targets weren't measurable time-bound. So the finding was raised in the annual report. And then the column, or the pie on the right-hand side, that is just dividing in terms of the nature of the different findings that we have. Seven of the entities had findings on the usefulness. As I explained, this is a concern because that is the basic. There is an improvement. Last year there was 11 with findings, this year only seven. Then the reliability, there's five entities that we've identified that couldn't provide us with the supporting documentation to verify the accuracy of what they've reported in the annual report. It's critical. I mean, like we do with the financial statements, if there's an amount of 10,000 rand, we trace it through to an invoice or the supporting documentation to verify the 10,000 rand. And it's exactly the same with performance information. If they say they approved free policies, we need to get the evidence that free policies was approved. And for seven or five of the entities, they couldn't give us that supporting documentation. Then the one non-compliance was Panswap. They actually didn't submit their performance information. Yes, and that is the free. So it's the green, the bigger part, is the usefulness, which is 26%, reliability, 5%, and then the non-compliance, which is in Panswap. We also analyzed the percentage of targets that they achieved, not achieved. So if we look at this graph, we see that the one on the left-hand side, there was four entities that achieved between 90 to 100% of the targets that was included and approved in the strategic plan. There was 12 entities that achieved between 80 and 90%. So in total, 16% of the entities managed to achieve what they promised and what was approved in the beginning of the financial year. I think what is a concern is the right bar, the red bar, the second one from the right. They didn't achieve more than 60% of their targets. They didn't achieve. So the question will be, if they don't have any money left, if they've used all their budget, what did they do with their money? Because they didn't spend it on what they were supposed to do. And the four there is National Heritage Council, PACOFS, SARA, and State Theatre. They didn't achieve what they were supposed to achieve. And then the one limitation, the one at the right, the purple one, that is consult, because they didn't provide the information, we couldn't test, and we couldn't see what they've actually achieved. The last area that we need to conclude on is in terms of compliance of laws and regulations. Now, once again, if we start at the top, we have the department had findings on non-compliance 2010-11 as well as in 2011-12. Then if we look at the entities, in 2010-11 there was only 27% of the entities which didn't have non-compliance findings. For 2011-12 there was a slight improvement to 31%. But this is really the area where the portfolio needs to focus on and where they need to improve their checks and balances, their review, their monitoring. There's too much non-compliance still in the portfolio, and that is what's keeping them from clean. This is where they need to work on. If we look at the pies, the one at the left-hand side, there is 17 of the entities that didn't change from last year. They had findings last year, they had non-compliance findings again this year, 17 out of the 27. There was three improvements, which was the Natal Museum, Iziko and Market. Now Iziko and Market managed to move to clean. So they resolved the non-compliance and they moved to clean. There was five that were clean the previous year, that is still clean this year, and then there were two regressions. That is William Humphrey and the National Museum. They didn't have non-compliance findings the previous year. In 2011-12, we've picked up non-compliance that we had to report. And then if we look at the pie on the right-hand side, that is just giving a breakdown of the typical...
I'm hearing you say you didn't pick up the non-compliance, you know, and I understand that last year you did pick up. Can you repeat that just for clarity purposes, please?
The auditors picked up the non-compliance. Management in the entities didn't pick it up throughout the year. They didn't have controls in place to prevent it or to detect the non-compliance. And that is where we say they need to enhance their daily processes so that they can stop this non-compliance from happening. And if it happens, that they can quickly identify and put corrective actions in place. So unfortunately, when the auditors came in, it was identified. The nature, the biggest...
Sorry, while you are still there, if I recall, when we talk about the compliance and the non-compliance, There are predetermined objectives that have been set by the department or the entity. And more so, there are policies that guide the entity to reach the predetermined, and in terms of the allocations that they have. So when we talk about the non-compliance, it means they deviated from their plan, what they've put in place to say we'll follow this and this in order to reach this. So now if the internal audit, according to the explanation, if I recall well in that session, the previous session, you indicated that the internal audit sometimes do not
see and then find it very quickly, and you find out that the entity has now moved for a long period before it is being detected that they are no more in line with what they have planned before. So I'm checking that with the question my honorable member is asking there. When we talk about the non-compliance, that means they are no more following what they plan to go through out in order to reach the objective that they put forth before them. So maybe it is not a question, but just explain more so that we can understand, because sometimes you find out they have complied with and then they couldn't reach the predetermined objectives if ever there is this kind of thing. Or otherwise, you always reach your predetermined goal or objectives if you have complied with, be it a policy, be it the regulation, be it the legislation, and so on. So just to make that clarity again.
The non-compliance that we report in terms of predetermined objectives is where they don't have a process in place, where they don't have that policies and procedures in place. Then we will say that the department don't have the effective process in place to manage the process of collecting information and reporting on information. And for that we've identified, or we've seen it with five of the entities, where they don't have a policy and a process that's implemented and regulated. We don't report non-compliance where they don't achieve their targets. That is for them to report it in their annual report. They will say, did they achieve or didn't they achieve? And then they need to put a reason why they didn't achieve the target. So we don't report that as a non-compliance. We only report when they don't have their framework in place, when they don't have the policies in place, because they won't be able to collect information, to have a consistent approach, if the employees in the entity don't know where they're working towards, if the employees in the entity don't know what they should record, when it should be recorded, in what format it should be recorded. Then they definitely set up for failure if they don't have that in place. So we report that. But the main areas of non-compliance, as I said, the one is in the strategic processes, the policies that they don't have in place, there was five. The biggest one, however, is the one of submitting financial statements that is not of quality and where they need to make a lot of corrections. There we've identified 12 of the entities. And then 8 of the entities, we've identified procurement processes. So if the amount that they want to procure is more than 500,000, they don't necessarily go out on tender. Or if it's between 30,000 and 500,000, they sometimes only get one quotation instead of the three quotations. So that is where they don't follow a fair and equitable, transparent process to give everybody a fair chance of tendering and getting the opportunity to deliver that service. Other expenditure management, there was 4, that also links to irregular, where we say that you didn't have a process in place to prevent or to detect irregular expenditure. Internal audit. At 4 of the entities, we've identified that they didn't have internal audit. And then for 5 of the entities, there was asset management, where they didn't maintain an asset register, they didn't do the counts, it wasn't barcoded, it wasn't, so they didn't safeguard the assets as is required by the PFMA. But the two main things is the financial statements and then irregular expenditure, not preventing and detecting irregular expenditure. So that is the next slide, is in terms of unauthorized, irregular, fruitless and wasteful. The first column on the left-hand side is unauthorized expenditure. We only get unauthorized expenditure with departments. And the definition is that where the department exceeds the allocated funds in total or in the different programs, it will be regarded as unauthorized. There was no unauthorized expenditure identified for 2011-12. You will see it's actually an improvement. In 2011, there was 50 million that was reported as unauthorized. Then if we look at the irregular expenditure, that is where they don't follow processes, the procurement processes. I think what is concerning if we look at this picture is we have the red blocks, which is the biggest blocks here. That is saying that the department or the entities didn't pick up on this irregular expenditure with their own processes. It was only identified when the auditors came in. So for the department, there was 8.8 million rand that was identified as irregular expenditure as a result of the audit process. And then for the entities, there was 61 million, almost 62 million, that was identified during the audit process, where the entities only identified almost 5 million with their own processes. So they will definitely have to focus on improving their processes to first of all prevent irregular, but then also to detect as and when they make payments to make sure they're still within the contract amount, they followed all the processes, all the approvals is there. They will definitely have to enhance their own review processes so that they can identify it. And then the last one is in terms of fruitless and wasteful. That is where money was spent in vain. It could have been prevented. For the department, there was 1 million rand that was identified during the audit process. And for the public entities, there was almost 3 million that was identified during the audit process and 1.6 million that the entities identified themselves. I think the positive in the slide is that both irregular and fruitless, okay, and then also unauthorized, reduced from 2010-11. Irregular was 93 million in 2010-11 compared to 75 in 2011-12, and then the fruitless was 7.6 million in 2010-11 compared to 5.8 in 2011-12. So there is a bit of reduction improvement in terms of the amount that has been identified.
I think I follow. I follow all this, and where I get stuck a bit, you know, where I need really some bit of a clarity. You have something like an unauthorized, a huge amount of money, which I think it's not actually really seen as a big sin from what I read. And this is tantamount to corruption completely, whatever figure it would be. But, I mean, the term used there, you know, to me it's just, you know, to say unauthorized. And the question is, without really saying the following year you see the improvement, you know, on unauthorized, but how one would actually be able to see the unauthorized, the authorized? Just to give it, you know, a correct, understandable, clean method of some kind, you know, because this unauthorized is very negative, especially to us. Probably with your terms, it's not so bad. I'm a little bit worried when one says, you know, it got improved. It means it's not actually done correctly, and it's left hanging all the way, you know, throughout the years. I just needed to check out, you know, how does one really see the unauthorized, authorized? This is my own term, not your term. I don't know if you would understand. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. When we look at the irregular, that's the middle block, and the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, there's a process of condonement within the department and within the entity, and there's specific certain transactions that must be condoned by National Treasury. But that is almost a in-house review process to condone the irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The unauthorized expenditure, there's a different process. It's, well, everything is disclosed in the financial statement, but the approval is actually by Parliament. And they can approve it with funding or without funding. So if Parliament approves with funding, it will go into the appropriation account and they will get the money for that. If they approve it without funding, then they must carry it from their own savings. If it's not approved, then then it must be refunded to government. Then they must pay it back to government. So for unauthorized, there's definitely a more strict process for approval and review and then recovering of all the money.
Thank you. I understand that the Auditor General looks at the sort of a theoretical framework whether certain processes are in place. But does the Auditor General not do any performance audits? Don't you look at outcomes of certain projects or something? You don't do performance audits, do you?
Thank you, Chair. Within the organization, we do have a performance audit unit. Currently, we focus more on transversal audits. We're about to release the audit on consultants and contractors. So that was done at 8 national departments. Arts and culture wasn't included in that audit. I know health and police and water affairs, environmental affairs, they were included in that transversal audit. But it's a process where the Auditor General is chairing the committee where they look at themes or what they can do and then it's approved at that level. So yes, we do, but not necessarily specific for every department or every entity. And then just the last slide. Is the root causes or the reasons why we feel the outcomes is the way that it is, where there's no real improvement, where we see that they almost stagnate in the comfort zone of being financially unqualified with a lot of compliance. The first one that we've identified is instability in key leadership positions. We look at the department, the DDG positions. If we look at the CFO positions that's taken, instability is definitely playing a role in the current outcome. Then if we look at sustainability, and I think that is really the main reason, it is the inadequate discipline of doing the day-to-day monitoring and reviews. Because that will pick up on the non-compliance, that will pick up on the accurate financial information, on accurate performance information, if they have that in place. And then accountability not accepted for actions. I think if we specifically look at SARA, where they keep on regressing, they were called in front of SCOPA, but even from there, they went from the qualification to a disclaimer. So it's that taking your role in an entity serious and being accountable for what you do, and then lack of consequences for transgression. It's that performance management system, making sure that if I know what I should do and I don't do it, there should be consequences. If there's irregular expenditure year after year, there should be some consequence for keep on regressing year after year. And so we identified that as one of the root causes for the entities not improving significantly. I don't know. We've prepared a document that we're currently issuing to the department, and it's basically just to focus everybody, to say, you know what, from the auditor side, we're going to track these on a quarterly basis, and it might be good if the committee also track these when there's engagement with the departments or the entities. And basically what we focus on is the focus area. Like for the department, we said that there should be continuous monitoring of supply chain processes, and then senior managers should be held accountable. So when the annual report is in front of the committee, if there's irregular expenditure, there should be an area where there's disciplinary action, and to interrogate and to ask and to understand what is it that happened, how is the process being corrected. Predetermined objectives, once again, senior managers should understand what their role is, and they should be held accountable for reporting unreliable information. And the HR, we said that critical positions should be filled and senior managers should sign performance agreements. Performance agreements in line with the DG's performance agreement in line with the minister's performance agreement so that everybody worked towards the same goal and the same outcome. Financial management is, what we propose there is to prepare quarterly financial statements so that every quarter they know that the information is accurate, it's there, it's reliable. We can audit it from the audit side and it can be corrected before year end. And then in our engagements with Minister, he indicated that he would like to have something almost like shared service, where smaller entities would maybe share audit committees, share internal audit, have assistance and guidance from national in terms of a CFO, if they can appoint a CFO at national. Just because like Willem Humphrey, I mean, it's a very small, and Wendy Brown, it's small entities. They don't have enough staff to do all the segregation of duties that they're supposed to do. But if they have the assistance from the department, if they can combine audit committees, internal audit, they will be able to comply. They will be able to have the segregation of duties that is necessary. So that is one of the actions or the commitments from the minister's side, is to look into possible shared services. They've also spoken about procurement, having, you know, like for paper or cartridges, things that everybody is going to use, to have a central point for procurement. Then there's one process, and everybody will have to benefit from that. So in this document, we just say that they need to implement the commitment that was made regarding shared services. Okay.
Thank you very much. In terms of our program, I think we are still having a few minutes before we break for a tea, and thereafter we come for the deliberations. I wonder if members have not exhausted their questions, because we had some interjections during the deliberations, during a presentation. So I think we've put on some questions that we'd like to discuss and then put it through to us. I just want to get an advice with the few minutes that we left with. We break for a tea and thereafter we'll come for the deliberations, or can we deal with some of the issues before?
Chairperson, just a very short question. Where is the William Humphreys Museum?
It's in the Eastern Cape. I think it's, yeah, somewhere there. It's in Tata or something like that.
What, Elizabeth?
Well, it's more in Tata, I think. Somewhere there.
No, it's not in Tata.
Which is correct. I think we need to know exactly where those areas are found from. We'll get somebody to advise us on that.
If we don't have questions, why should we now stay here?
Honorable Ntapan, I think that one, let's just take it for a note. In terms of our, let's follow the program. And then when coming back for the deliberations and discussing, if ever we do not have anything, then we'll entertain what your proposal is. With due respect.
With your respect.
No, no, we'll entertain what the proposal by Honorable Tapani has said when we come from tea, not now. I indicated earlier that we should not discuss such.
It was nothing against you. We elected you.
Okay, let's break for a tea and then we'll be coming back at what time now? At 11:15, please.
It's just a lot of things in business, huh? Wonderful. I was always sitting next to us and making me the big boy.